This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you, and trust you're doing well. What a great day across America, and wow, we have a lot to talk about. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to be chatting with Housing and Urban Development Secretary Scott Turner. He's going to be along to talk about a really important initiative that he announced yesterday. They're cracking down now on illegal aliens who are living in taxpayer-funded housing. They call it government housing or public housing, but it's paid for by your tax dollars. So on this program, we call that taxpayer-funded housing. And Scott Turner was in Memphis yesterday making the announcement along with Pam Bondi, who also brought news. And she is really excited about the work of the Memphis Safe Task Force. Now, many cities across the nation have been dealing with an insane crime rate, and all of them, the one common denominator, these are all cities that are run by Democrats. And we've had these conversations before. But anyway, I want to get to the point of the conversation to start off with today. We have some photographs and a lot of images from last night's big shindig. And a couple of days ago, as I mentioned to you on the air, the White House had reached out and said, hey, look, you know, you had told us a while back that you wanted to be able to feed the troops. And I said, absolutely. And they said, well, can you do it Monday? And we put together a crew and we fed 1,000 federal agents, all members of the Memphis Safe Task Force last night. It was quite an event. Just got to meet people from all over the country that are here in Memphis working to keep our streets safe. And many of them are not going to be able to go home for Thanksgiving. So they're going to be here in Memphis for Thanksgiving. And so we wanted to give them a little taste of Thanksgiving a few days early. So we reached out to a great restaurateur in the Memphis area. His name is Jim Lasapio, and just a great American patriot. He owns a lot of very popular restaurants across the entire city, including Rum Boogie. And Dylan, I know that Rum Boogie is right there on Beale Street. It's kind of a happening joint. A lot of other great restaurants, not only on Beale, but across the state line in Mississippi. And one of those is called Dale's, where the Stearns family, we've been eating at Dale's for generations.
Dale's is an excellent choice.
So they brought over, it was Dale's, they brought over their staff, and they prepared chicken and dressing with all the fixings for over 1,000 people. And Jim told me, we're going to have everybody fed and watered in less than 20 minutes. And he wasn't kidding. And so we had to work the line. So Attorney General Pam Bondi comes in, and that woman, they treated her like a rock star. These law enforcement agents all wanting to come up, get selfies. And she stayed around for a long time taking pictures and meeting the federal agents. Many of them are very young. And then the rest of us, we all gathered around and we started serving the troops and serving the agents. And we just had an absolute blast. Also, got to give a shout out to Pepsi Cola. Pepsi actually provided all of the drinks free of charge. They said, this is something we want to do. We love being a part of a patriotic event. And Pepsi, God bless you folks. And it was one of those unique moments where you got a chance to see the good side, the really good side of Memphis and the philanthropy and the people like Senator Brent Taylor, one of our great state lawmakers, and our local Republican group. They had folks out there volunteering and helping. And it really meant a lot. People locally like Rachel Bells, and of course her family has the beautiful Peabody Hotel in downtown Memphis, and Paul Boyle, one of our great investors here in the Memphis area. And I could go on and on. I just want to brag about these folks because something exciting is happening here in this city. And hear me on this. Hear me. If we are able to turn around Memphis, Tennessee, the deadliest city in America, there is hope for everybody else. And it is happening. The crime rate is down over 50% now. Are you ready for this? Robberies down 60% in just the past 50 days. It's really something else. And all I can say is that we asked God, and I think the prayer for many people across this city, the prayer was that God would send somebody to help us because our elected leaders, they just left us hanging. They turned a blind eye. As a matter of fact, the mayor of Memphis actually invited the gangbangers to City Hall. I wonder how many victims of crime he's invited to City Hall. So we were in a pretty hopeless, dire situation. And if you're a business owner, and I happen to be a small business owner, that's a serious thing. And it's heartbreaking. You hate to get to that point, but people were praying, God, please send somebody. And it turns out that the good Lord answered that prayer. And we are mighty thankful for what has been happening here. So all that to say, we have a lot of pictures up on our social media pages. Go and look at them and check them out. And it was fun being able to hang out with everybody, Senator Bill Hagerty, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Congressman David Kostoff, a lot of folks there. And we were in this big old hangar, and we were feeding folks, and it was just a lot of fun. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, as I said, the HUD secretary will be along to talk about what they're doing to root out the illegals that are taking advantage of law-abiding American citizens. That's coming up a little bit later. Also, Vicky Palladino, she is a member of the New York City Council. She's a Republican, and she filmed some video that has since gone viral. It's just chaos, lawlessness in neighborhoods, and we're looking forward to talking to Councilwoman Palladino. You know, it's interesting. She had a very different take on the Trump Mamdani meeting in the Oval Office. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, it was a love fest, and Donald Trump has embraced communism and Islam. And that, first of all, that was just a load of hooey. But a lot of people were wondering what was going on here. And Palladino believes in, and we'll let her explain all this, but she believes that Trump was doing like 4 or 5D chess with that entire encounter with Mamdani. And she said, don't buy the negative spin on this, that there's something else going on, which is good. So we look forward to talking with her. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. So there's a lot of debate right now in the White House over how to proceed with the senators who told members of the military not to follow Trump's orders. And the question is, when you have lawmakers who are in fact military veterans, and they're out there saying, well, you know what, you don't need to be following the president's orders because they may be illegal. And Mark Kelly has been leading the charge here, he and Alyssa Slotnick out of Michigan. Mark Kelly, by the way, out of Arizona. And so there's a lot of controversy now over whether or not the Pentagon should in fact be investigating Mark Kelly, because what they did is a clear. So one of the things that is not up for debate, it is a violation of the law, what they did, and especially for members of the military. But Senator Kelly is in a unique position because of his position and his rank within the military. When he retired, they may look at bringing him back, restoring him to active duty, and then punishing him for his remarks. But people are now saying this is a bad move strategically. I know Eric Erickson, who is out there, and I would say that he has not been a fan of Donald Trump, and that is being very generous. But Erickson says going after Mark Kelly is dangerous because it elevates Mark Kelly's status within the Democrat Party, and Mark Kelly would be a more dangerous presidential candidate than someone like a Gavin Newsom out of California. But it just seems to me that should be irrelevant, right? Because ultimately, the most important thing is whether or not the law has been violated and the law has been broken. And if, in fact, the law has been broken, it seems to me that Mark Kelly has to pay the price. And it has to happen because we have gone through a period of time, and I would say over the past 40 or 50 years, this goes back a very long time, where Republicans of all stripes just do not want to hold Democrats accountable for anything, which is why we have these amazing hearings, jaw-dropping allegations, shocking, shocking evidence of wrongdoing, and no one is ever prosecuted at all. Nobody is, ever, period. Nobody's ever prosecuted for it, not at all. And I don't know if they ever will be. I don't know if the Republicans will be able to get over all of this. And every time the Republicans are, and I hear this a lot, well, we just have to take the high road because that's who we are as Republicans. We just don't like controversy. We don't like conflict at all. They don't like conflict at all. So they just turn a blind eye. And it just seems to me that if we are never going to hold these Democrats accountable for anything, why are we holding all of these hearings? Because that is just, that's squandering and wasting our tax dollars. Now, if you look at what's been going on, and by the way, there's been blowback on Capitol Hill over this. Well, we don't need to be going after lawmakers. Really? Because guess what? The other side, they're going after lawmakers. They do it all the time. Meanwhile, here we are. And I was talking to somebody about what's happening in Nashville, and it ties in to what's happening in the House of Representatives, where Donald Trump won the 7th Congressional District by 20 points. And now we understand, someone was telling me last night that the Democrat may be within 2 or 3 percentage points of Matt Van Epps, the Republican. That's just unacceptable. And if Republicans don't get out and vote, we're going to lose that district. I mean, it's very clear. I mean, we're going to lose if we don't get out to vote. But I think the bigger issue, and there is a bigger issue here, is that for two months, the House of Representatives did absolutely nothing, nothing at all. And that is on leadership. That is on leadership. And I'm telling you, the House Republicans right now are struggling, and it is clear to me that we have to have new leadership, and we've got to have strong leadership. Mike Johnson is a fine Christian man, got no problems with him other than the fact that he's not a strong leader. And we also need courageous leadership. And if we don't get that between now and, I would say, March, the midterms are going to be disastrous because we have squandered a great opportunity. Aside from the one big, beautiful bill, what else has the House of Representatives done? We have got to codify President Trump's agenda, and if we do not, it will demoralize Republicans. Therefore, it will lead to a massive, massive disaster in the midterms. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer, this is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, You help secure more screens. You lock in two free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Northeast Georgia, Kim is listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Kim. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you for all you do for standing up for truth. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, just wanted to agree with you on the military actions that need to be followed. I think that there, if there are any anyone in the Senate or House of Representatives that are encouraging our military to go against their CEO or their orders, I think an example needs to be made of this. I think they need to be jailed for at least 90 days, and legislation should be passed to make sure that happens, especially since we had January 6th and people went to prison. And I think some of those clips need to be on Fox News at night to remind them of what they did to the Republicans and people that were fighting for freedom. I just think they need to remember what they did.
I think it's a great idea, Kim. And again, this disturbing situation, though, when you actually have people out there in Congress and they're telling these very impressionable soldiers, hey, look, you don't have to follow these orders. I mean, that's a horrifying thing. If I'm in military command, I am livid right now.
Right. I mean, this is just so unprecedented. And I think that the Democrats have forgotten they lost the election. They lost. They did not win. They are not in control.
It's true. It's a great point, Kim. Hey, by the way, Kim, before we let you go, big Thanksgiving plans?
Just spending time with family.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can't come.
Having a big dinner. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Taking a long nap, I hope.
Yes. Taking a break from working in the medical field. It'll be a great day.
Good for you. All right. Well, Kim, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. By the way, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Give us a holler. We're going to be a bit leisurely over the next 2 days leading into Thanksgiving. 901-260-5926. And Dylan, I'm calling an audible, and we're going to throw out a Thanksgiving trivia question. We need to know who are Gobble and Waddle. Who are Gobble and Waddle? I'll give you a clue. It is not a law firm. Gobble and Waddle. If you know who Gobble and Waddle are, give us a call. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up in the after the bottom of the hour news break, we're going to be talking to Vicky Palladino from the New York City Council. She's a lot of fun. We have her on my Newsmax show all the time, and Vicky is the real deal. And my only regret is I wish I had known her back during my time when I was living in New York City. I was over in Brooklyn, so all of our elected leaders were radical leftists. Oh, by the way, I've got to give a shout out here. Dylan, you know, we're getting a lot of treats being delivered to us here at the show.
Yes.
This is not a good time to go on a diet if you're a member of the Todd Stearns Radio Show family. We just received a package from the College of the Ozarks, and inside was one of their homemade fruitcakes. Dylan, are you a big fruitcake guy?
I'm not the biggest fruitcake guy, but I somehow weirdly trust the College of the Ozarks because they like make everything from scratch.
And it's all student made. Yeah. And everything I purchased from there, I was speaking on campus a couple of weeks ago and they loaded me up and it has been delicious. So anyway, they had a little note here. Thank you for supporting College of the Ozarks. This fruitcake was handcrafted by College of the Ozarks student Chloe. So thank you very much, Chloe. And according to, they even have the story of the fruitcake. In 1933, a home economics teacher named Annabelle McCaster and her students baked 6 fruitcakes in a kerosene oven for generous friends of the school. And so began a long-standing history. And the fruitcakes were so popular that they decided to just keep up the long-time tradition. And it is a The cakes are a campus classic and an Ozarks legacy. I think you and I are going to have to try the fruitcake, Dylan.
I think so, yeah.
We're obligated. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Have you heard about the new movie Call Sign Courage? It's the story of Space Force Commander Matt Lohmeyer. He's the one who blew the lid off the military's DEI agenda. He saw how Marxist messaging, critical race theory, and rampant DEI training was changing the culture of the military. Suddenly, everybody was equal. They'd stripped away merit-based selection and promotions, and the lack of accountability, competency, and effectiveness had actually become a domestic threat. He spoke up how it was tearing apart the military's unity, readiness, and the whole reason why we have a military in the first place, the ability to fight and win wars. They broke into his home, he was spied on and threatened, but Lohmeyer did not back down, so career officers kicked him out. Then President Trump made him Undersecretary of the Air Force so he could solve the problem. When the stakes were high, this guy stood up. Don't miss Call Sign Courage, the Matt Lohmeyer story. Watch it and buy the DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. I'm sorry I'm laughing. I see some of the answers to the trivia question. We want to know who Gobble and Wobble are. Let's go to the German Shepherd. German Shepherd, what's the answer?
Well, the way Joe Biden gobbled up my nest egg in the savings account, I'd say Joe Biden and Hunter Biden, the way he waddled his way into the White House with his white powder there. So that's my answer.
All right, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Yeah, that is incorrect, German Shepherd. However, it's so darn funny. German Shepherd, we're going to hook you up with a prize package. Also, are you signed up to get my newsletter? It's the exclusive Todd Stern Show newsletter.
Of course I am.
Good.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Well, I am happy to hear this. That means you are a smart and learned man, the German Shepherd. So we're going to put you on hold.
I'm a lot smarter because of you.
Well, thank you for that. German Shepherd, hang tight. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Let's go to Lisa in North Carolina. Hey, Lisa, how are you today?
Good, Todd. How are you?
Lisa, I am doing great. Thank you for asking. I'm actually in a very good mood and looking forward to Thanksgiving Day. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
All right, Lisa, here's the question. Who are Gobble and Wobble?
They're the turkeys at the White House.
Let's check. Yes, I think you're right. How about, I love those little turkeys. How about that? President Trump and the First Lady pardoning, they're sparing the lives of two turkeys, actual turkeys, not those on Capitol Hill. And what a benevolent president we have.
Yes, sir.
Now, Lisa, tell me about Thanksgiving. You got big plans.
We're going to deep fry a turkey at my mother-in-law's house, and everybody's going to bring a dish to pass.
Oh, I like that. So deep fry. Now, you guys, you know, you've seen the stories. I mean, houses burned down on things. So you guys have a plan? Do you have the fire department on standby?
No. My husband's pretty good about doing it.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear this. So Mr. Lisa is in charge of the deep frying of the turkey.
That's right.
Well, congratulations, Lisa. Sounds like you guys are going to have a great celebration. Hang tight, and we're going to send you a signed copy of my book. And you know what, guys? If we can get Lisa's email address, Lisa, we're going to give you a free subscription to the Todd Stearns newsletter. And we just appreciate you so much for being a part of what we do here on this program. By the way, folks, if you haven't signed up, you can do that by going to toddstearns.com and click on that subscribe button at the very top of the page. We do not share your information, and we do not spam you. And we are very proud of both of those things. Let's go to Mike in Texas. Patriot Talk 920. Mike, you guys, I was watching the news this morning. You guys had some serious storms move through.
Oh, yes, yes. Especially for this time of year. Of course, that's climate change, right?
Oh, yes. Back in the day, we called that winter, but yeah. Exactly. Seasons. But, yeah, our thoughts are with all the good folks there in the Houston area. We know a tornado touched down, a lot of damage out there. But you guys, you've been through these storms before. You'll get back to normal in no time at all.
Oh, yeah, I was born and raised here. We've never evacuated for a hurricane. We just always rode it out.
Mike, what's going on? What's on your – we've got to talk about the political storm. That's what we call a segue in the business.
Well, yes, sir. I would like for you to convince me that the Republican Party and the Democrat Party are not two different wings off the same bird. That's why nothing ever gets done. Charlie called it the uniparty. And it's kind of like what the Democrats do overtly, the Republicans do covertly. One's, you know, in your face, the other one's behind the scenes. And I mean, you know, I see these posts on Facebook, this bombshell, that bombshell, you know, James Comey's bringing the receipts, you know, yada, yada, yada. But when does someone get arrested? I mean, look at Steve Bannon, Peter Navarro, Rudy Giuliani. I mean, the list goes on and on of what the previous administration did. Why is it we can't do anything?
Let me explain what's about to happen, Mike. And it's I'm going to try to answer your question as well. I do believe that there is a uniparty. And I do believe that Republicans and Democrats are on the same team. And I also believe the reporting out of Jake Sherman from Punch Bowl that there is such hatred. And it's not President Trump, okay? They don't hate President Trump. They hate what that man stands for. They hate the fact that he is putting America first and that he's putting American workers first. And that's something the Republican Party at its core has never wanted to do. They've never embraced the working class people of America. They hated it. They hated it when Ronald Reagan brought in the evangelical Christians. And I remember John McCain calling them agents of intolerance. John McCain called people like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and the evangelical leaders of the time agents of intolerance. So they've always been about big business and taking care of corporations that are using cheap foreign labor, in many cases now just moving their companies across, you know, across the border or to other countries and screwing the American working man. And yeah, Mike, well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, speaking of that, I was watching Rob Schmidt and he was reporting on how I think Colorado was the state that he, did the segment on, or the story on, was how they've implemented at the state level. They call it, I can't remember what it's called, but if basically they're saying that whatever the deduction of the federal government on taxes for overtime and tips, whatever that deduction is that now you will now receive, that's now included in the state income tax. So they're taking the And that state's run by the Democrat Party. And then President Trump tries to give the working class extra money, and the Democrat Party that runs the state has come up with a new rule to take it away. It's unbelievable. It's like in your face, and they just keep getting voted in.
So let me explain what's going to happen, and because everyone needs to understand where this is all going. They hate the agenda so much that they're willing to give up their power in the House, which is really no power at all. I mean, House Republicans really haven't done that much. They have begrudgingly moved through some of the Trump agenda, but most of it is still clogged up. And the Senate is shameful what John Thune is doing right now. So I would not be surprised, as the reporting of Punch Bowl and Jake Sherman was talking about this yesterday, that their sources are saying that other Republicans may be getting to resign their positions before the midterm elections and throwing control of the House of Representatives to the Democrats. And people are like, there's no way. Yes, there is a way, because they hate Donald Trump's agenda that much, Mike. So I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you except for this. Actually, I do know what to tell you. We have got to vet candidates, and those candidates have to be America First candidates. It's that simple.
That's the problem I have with MTG. She can have whatever her perspective is, opinion, so on and so forth, but she should at least finish out her term. She owes that to the voters, you know, the people that voted for her, her constituents, the state of Georgia. What is the positive by leaving the last year of your term? You know, I don't understand the point. Why doesn't she just finish out her term? She owes it to her state.
Mike, it's a great question, and that's one that Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to have to answer, but she doesn't want to do conservative media now. She wants to do The View and CNN and PMS Now, and I'm with you. I mean, look, MTG, her voting record, pretty darn rock solid, but, you know, again, going out there and attacking President Trump and attacking the conservative movement, that is not helping things. But then when you turn around and resign your post, why do you do that? That is the coward's way out. We elect these. Look, same thing with Mark Green. And I know he had issues or whatever. But the reality is he should have stayed in Congress. And when you've got people like MTG and Mark Green, these people are cowards. They have and they've betrayed the voters, too. And that bothers me. They should have stayed. There's nothing, Mike, that I've seen that would tell me, oh, yeah, MTG's got to go, unless she's trying to sabotage something. And the same thing goes for Mark Green. I mean, they see the numbers. We can't afford to lose any more people. We just can't. So anyway, I hate it, Mike. I really do. And I wish I had a better answer for you. But I think that's the cold, hard reality. We do have a uniparty. Mike Johnson is not a leader. He never has been, and I don't think he ever will be. I had hopes for the guy. I really did. But it's not looking good right now. And that's a sad thing. Now, a lot of people, and Mike, thank you for the call. A lot of people, oh, well, that's darn, he's a panickin. He's a panickin, that guy. No, I'm a realist. I'm trying to alert you to what's coming down the pike, because if we don't fix this right now, and it needs to be fixed, maybe we can all ask Santa Claus to send Mike Johnson a spine. But if we don't fix this now, it will be very bad in the midterms, very bad. And the idea that you've got a guy running for Congress in the middle of Tennessee, and he may only be leading by 2 or 3 percentage points over the Democrat, yeah, that better be a wake-up call for everybody. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally. Back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium My Pillows made with Giza cotton, queen $17.98, kings only $19.98. Also, for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS.
Todd, I think I got an answer to who's gobbling wobble. I think Biden, his wife, or Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade. What's your take on that?
Mark dropping us with a big one right before we go to break. I'll try to answer that when we come back in the next hour. That's Mark from the Villages. By the way, Mark leaving us a shout out, and you can do that if you download our free app. And all you have to do is go to ToddStarns.com, download the app. It takes like 2 seconds, okay, maybe 3, and then you'll be able to leave us a recorded message. Dylan, I've got to share this with you. I was kind of embarrassed, and I realized, you know, for me, I'm not a very pretentious person, And so sometimes I just don't ever replace things like what do you call the cell phone thing that you put your cell phone in? The cover?
The case.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. So I haven't replaced this since I got the iPhone. And so anyway, I didn't realize how ratty it looked until I was at the Oval Office and I asked the president's assistant, would you mind taking some pictures with my phone? And then I realized, oh, geez, this kind of looks like a trailer park phone case. It's been worn.
Yeah, it takes a toll on itself.
Well, it does.
I mean, don't take it off because when you take it off, you're going to find there's probably like an animal living under your phone or something. Because last time I took my phone case off, there was like dirt and there was like stuff I didn't even know.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Under my phone.
That's really. So when I was in Atlanta, I stopped. And any of you folks in Georgia that listen to us, the last time I went to Lenox Mall, which is sort of like it's kind of the upscale mall. It's a great mall. But when I went there the last time, it was like a war zone. It was kind of like, you know, you put your life in your hands. And they had, you know, all these young kids running around, screaming, carrying on. And I thought, geez, a loo. So anyway, they have an Apple store there. And I thought, you know what? I flew in for Aunt Norma Sue's big 90th birthday. So I thought, I've got a couple of hours to kill. I'll go to Lenox Mall and I'll get a new phone case. So anyway, I pull in and I didn't realize this, Dylan. They got valet parking at the mall now.
Oh, wow.
It was great. At least I thought it was. I was rather suspect because, you know, you don't want to be the guy that pulls up to the valet parking and it turns off, they just take off with your car.
Yeah, this is very true.
But it was the real deal.
Okay. So did you get the service done?
I got the, yeah, I wow. did. So I got the valet park.
Fancy streets.
And walked in and it was like heaven. It's like there was classical music and people were shopping and dressed appropriately
in a mall.
Nobody was shooting anybody.
Wow. What life could be like.
I'm like, what happened here? It was amazing. I'm like, wow. And I mean, there was security and everything and it wasn't overwhelming. And I'm like, holy cow. They had like a Brooks Brothers. So I went over there and said hello and said, you know, we hate that you guys shut down the stores in Nashville and Memphis, but you know, God bless you. And so then I go to the Apple store and I say, I got to have a new phone case. Mm-hmm. And it's a fancy Apple store. I mean, this thing, I've never seen anything like it. But I go in and they go, oh, no problem. Let's take a look. And this phone is not that old. It's not the one that just came out, but it's the one before that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like a couple of years old. So I hand him my phone and they go, oh, you have one of those phones. And like say it loud enough so people like turn around. And I'm like, what? It's not like a landline. Not like I'm walking in here with a flip phone. I paid, what, $900 for this phone?
Right. At least.
Oh, my gosh.
They put you on the poverty phone list.
They did. I'm like, oh, you've got one of those phones.
We don't sell those cases here anymore.
And that's it. They didn't sell the cases.
That's terrible, Todd.
They said, oh, we don't make those cases anymore. And then they're like, but you might be able to get one on Amazon. And I'm like, what? So I'm in on the racket now because you know what it is. I think they want you, they get rid of all the accessories.
Oh, yeah.
So that you buy the upgrade.
That's Apple for you. That's in a nutcase right there. I mean, literally, they make different charging outlets for your phone every time they come out with a new phone. Like you have to buy a new charger, a new case, everything.
I keep them all. Because you never know when they're going to go back to the old. So that was my next thing. I'm like, they're not going to have a charge. Oh, we don't make chargers for that phone anymore.
Sir, you need to go to the Dollar Tree next door. You'll find what you need over here.
So
your iPhone 16S.
I'm like, where are the? I should have gone to downtown Atlanta where they have all those people on the sidewalk selling things. I'm sure they could have got me something on the black market.
That's where they put them. They just gave them to those people.
And I think the thing that really bothers me about all of my products are Apple, and you know that. I've got Macs galore. Mm-hmm. And it's just like the frustration is they keep upgrading, and then they immediately discontinue all the accessories.
Yeah, and for some reason your phone starts getting a little slower. I don't know if you noticed that. Your apps, they start opening up a little bit slower.
Have you started? I've been getting this weird message on the phone. Oh, you can't recharge because there's water in your phone.
Oh, I haven't gotten that one.
And I'm like, it hasn't rained in like weeks. And I'm like, what are you? I'm in the desert. It happened when I was in the desert. I was up in Northern California or Southern California, up in the high desert.
Wow.
I'm like, what are you people talking about? So now I've got a ratty phone call, and I'm sort of self-conscious about it now because, you know, last night I was with Pam Bondi.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want, I mean, it's, Pam, it's the attorney general for crying out loud.
You want to have a good phone case.
Want to have a good phone case.
You take pictures, you know, it's a real problem.
It's a first world problem.
For sure.
But I, as soon as they said that, oh, we don't, and then they go, but we'd be happy to help you upgrade. Oh, and yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm good.
Of course.
I'm really good. Thank you for that. You know, everybody's staring at you now like you're a poor person. I'm like, no, I can afford it, but I'm not buying it out of spite.
Greedy.
Unbelievable. So anybody knows where I can get a phone, a phone case? Man, I miss the landlines. I don't know about you folks. 901-260-5926. Nice mall, though. Ate at the California Pizza Kitchen. That was tasty.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to you. And we're going to have a lot of fun this hour. Vicky Palladino from New York City will joining us. She is a city council person. Also coming up a little bit later on, we'll be talking to you, Housing and Urban Development Secretary. That would be Scott Turner. He was in town yesterday, and the secretary making some pretty big news. Right now, though, want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Stephen Vaden, who is the Deputy Secretary at the Department of Agriculture. Stephen, I guess it's a pretty busy week for you guys with all the turkeys and whatnot.
That's right. We're busy promoting food safety while also making certain that we're not misspending taxpayer dollars in our SNAP program.
Well, that is a huge, huge thing. And I know that so many people around the nation were pretty excited about the fact that you guys are going to be cracking down on that. Can you take us through what that will look like? There had been some talk of everybody having to reapply.
So we've got data from 28 states, most of them red. We have run that data through multiple databases that we have here. Now, keep in mind, there are 22 states. They're all run by Democrats. They're in court trying to prevent us from reviewing their data. But we've really got some blockbuster numbers. We have discovered, again, this is only with 28 states, that there are 186,000 dead recipients, according to the Social Security Administration, currently receiving SNAP benefits. 186,000 dead people.
That's insane.
And, of course, one of those blue states we don't have is Illinois, and I don't have to tell you, Todd, that the dead are one of the most important voting constituencies in Illinois. So no telling how many SNAP benefits they're receiving in order so they can rise from the grave and vote every 2 years. But we hope to have their data soon. But 186,000 is a number we have. It gets even worse. We've got, again, only 28 states, but 355,000 SNAP recipients are duly enrolled. That means they are receiving benefits at least twice over, either within their own state or from two or more different states simultaneously.
I am flabbergasted by these numbers. So 355,000 that are duly enrolled. How have you guys been able to figure out how they were able to do this? And was there a loophole? Were you guys able to fix the problem?
Well, SNAP is a state-run program. And in some states, like New York State, for example, it's a county-run program. Now, we don't have New York State's data. But, for example, if you live there in Tennessee and you live in Memphis, it may be possible for you to receive benefits simultaneously from both Tennessee and Mississippi, or perhaps Tennessee and Arkansas, because the states don't check with one another in order to make certain that someone's not receiving benefits from another state. So you can just imagine in the New York metropolitan area, the tri-state region, none of whose data we currently have, the opportunities for dual enrollment in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut, or just within New York, since every borough of New York City is a county. And so you could do the five boroughs of New York without leaving the confines of New York City, since it's run at the county level. We have one individual that we have found through this process who is simultaneously receiving SNAP benefits in six states. And we've got seven people whom we have found are enrolled in five different states simultaneously, and another 22 people who are simultaneously enrolled across four states. And again, this is with only 28 states, very few of them Blues data. So when we get New York, Illinois, and California, we don't expect to see a better picture.
It's possible that we could actually see these numbers double. I mean, if you're talking about California, New York, and Illinois, because you know there's got to be corruption there. I mean, these are shocking numbers that you're sharing with us.
Well, none of those states are known for the attention to the public fisc that they pay. But again, these are actual numbers. These aren't extrapolations. These are based on the 28 states that have voluntarily shared their data with us. I'll throw another one at you, Todd. We got 440,000 recipients who are enrolled using dummy Social Security numbers. So we don't really know who those people are. They may not be citizens. They may be dual enrollees. We don't know. But there are 440,000 people that, according to the Social Security Administration, their Social Security numbers are dummy. They're not valid.
So you've got this information already on at least these 28 states. What action are you guys taking to fix this?
Well, for all of these individuals that we are flagging, we are going back to the states and we are telling them, look, this comes up in our system as potentially invalid. You need to go and see what the issue is. And if this person is fraudulently receiving benefits, cut them off. We just completed fiscal year 2025 on the 30th of September. For that entire fiscal year, and keep in mind, Joe Biden was in charge for the first several months of it. But for that entire fiscal year, we prosecuted 3,800 SNAP fraudsters in court and got more than $33 million in restitution for the taxpayers. That is a number that's definitely going to grow in fiscal year 26. We are already off to a gangbuster start. The new fiscal year began on the 1st of October, and we have already blocked here at USDA in a month and a half more than 450 compromised SNAP card terminals and preventing or stopping more than $23 million in transactions from going through.
That's just
in the first month and a half of this fiscal year.
Wow. Deputy Ag Secretary Stephen Vaden with us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, and really dropping some shocking numbers. 186,000 dead recipients they've identified. And this, again, folks, only in the 28 states that voluntarily release that information, 355,000 SNAP recipients who were duly enrolled. Is it possible, you know, we've been getting a lot of calls from our listeners, Stephen, and they're standing in line at Kroger or Winn-Dixie, and they're noticing that people are just piling up stuff that they should not be purchasing on these EBT cards and things of that nature. And many of them are driving around in very nice cars, living in nice homes, and yet they're getting all of these benefits from the government. Can you guys do anything about that? Can you investigate these folks?
We absolutely can. And it's funny you mentioned that. I would encourage anyone who has evidence of SNAP fraud to go to the USDA website and go to our Office of Inspector General, OIG. They have a tip line that any citizen can call, and we take those tips seriously. For example, to give you two examples that our Office of Inspector General is working on currently, we have found multiple instances of recipients, SNAP recipients, spending more than $10,000 in a single transaction. I don't know what your monthly food budget, Todd, is. Mine isn't $10,000. I doubt yours is. But we even have one individual who spent $30,000 on baby formula alone. That suggests people who are trafficking. They're using the SNAP card to use taxpayer money to buy foodstuffs, to buy baby formula, and then selling it in the black market and pocketing all of the revenue. We're going to crack down on this. These two examples that I have cited are currently under investigation by our Office of Inspector General. But if your listeners see things that make them suspicious as they're out shopping for the holidays, we want to know about it. Please reach out via our OIG tip line, via the USDA website. Let us know.
Yeah, this is huge, and we've got to get a handle. I know that people are just frustrated because I get it. There are people, Stephen, who genuinely need SNAP. They need help. No doubt about that. But I'm wondering if the majority of these people getting these benefits just basically need to go out and get a blasted job.
Well, we'll be helping them get a job soon, Todd, because thanks to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, we have work requirements that actually will be enforced. Congress changed the law. We will be working over the next several months to implement those changes. We have already sent letters out to the several states of the union telling them they need to start implementing the changes that were in the statute themselves immediately. We've had a few states sue us, apparently not understanding that when the Congress passes a bill and the president signs it, it goes into effect immediately. You don't get a grace period unless the statute says otherwise. And fraud needs to stop now. But we're going to build on that at USDA. We've got multiple rulemaking proceedings that we're going to go through to end eligibility loopholes, require states to make certain working-age adults actually work, and to fix the broken infrastructure that makes this fraud possible in the first place. We are going to fill the Code of Federal Regulations with regulations that actually preserve taxpayer money and ensure exactly the point that you just made. People who need this benefit deserve it, and we want them to have it. And everyone that is spending $30,000 on baby formula or the 186,000 dead people who are currently receiving benefits are not only stealing from the taxpayer, they're not only committing a federal crime, they're also stealing from people who are actually in need and for whom the program was designed in the first place.
Wow. All right. Well done. Stephen, this is great news. And I know so many people are going to be happy to hear that you guys are cracking down on this abuse. We're going to have to leave it there. Stephen, I had no idea, though. You sort of buried the lead here, my friend. You didn't tell us that you were born right in Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, as a matter of fact, the next thing I'm going to do is to go to the airport to fly there so I can eat my own turkey in my hometown of Union City, Tennessee. But yes, I was born in Memphis. I was born in the Med, as a matter of fact, and I'm in Memphis all the time. And that's why I'm grateful the president has sent the National Guard there, so it's a safer place when I do the I-240 loop and I'm not an unwitting participant to a drag race that used to be going on down there.
This, you know what? The people that are probably more grateful than anybody who owns a brake pad company here in the Mid-South, because people are slamming on their brakes so they don't get pulled over. But be safe. Stephen, hope you and your family have a great Thanksgiving in Union City, and thanks for the great work you're doing for the administration.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving. That's Deputy USDA Secretary Stephen Vaden, a good old Tennessee guy. You know, I heard the accent, and I'm like, that's not Minnesota. That's a Tennessee guy right there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is jaw-dropping, and he broke some news. Telling us again, 355,000 people duly enrolled getting SNAP benefits, 186,000 dead people getting benefits as well. And he also mentioned that California, New York, and Illinois have not turned in their numbers yet. And that tells me these numbers will probably double and maybe triple. Because as he said, the dead people of Illinois are one of the most important voting demographics there. He's not lying. That's true. All right, we got to take a break. We're going to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We want you to say the blessing this year.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Can you say the blessing?
Yes.
Okay.
You say the blessing.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
The Republic from which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Dylan, if I ever get that old, we've got to make sure the family just goes with the flow.
I think we will. I think that's an appropriate thing to do, yeah, if you start doing the Pledge of Allegiance.
Whoever you have, if we ever ask somebody to pray, like your grandma,
yeah,
and she says, I pledge allegiance, we all just have to stand. Did you see the video? The guy put his hand over his heart.
That Christmas Vacation?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that scene. And then the cat, you know,
burst
the tree into flames. Mm-hmm. That's fine.
That's true.
Yeah, it's that won't true. Happen if, you know, for some reason our grandmother has to, you know, do that.
Oh, someone sent me a note. Todd, here's a trivia question. What day does Canada celebrate Thanksgiving? And I didn't realize they were actually being serious, so I replied, well, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving because they're in Canada. They got nothing to be thankful for. But apparently they do. It's in October. Whoops. My bad. Probably shouldn't be going to Canada anytime soon. Let's go to the phones. Tom in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Hi there. Good. I'm wondering if we might be creating our own little recession by taking out some of the people that have been here 10 years or longer that have not committed any crimes or so. I've got renters that I've had up in that neighborhood, and they're afraid to answer the door because they think ICE is going door to door, you know, and it could be just a salesperson, you don't know. And they think some of these people are not, you know, wearing the ID. So I think that the ICE people and the, you know, police should always have ID, you know, plastered on their back and whatnot. But, you know, I think it's not looking good. I think, because I've voted for Trump, you know, all three times or more. And, I'm concerned that some of the Republicans are just going to not, you know, hold back.
So Tom, what would you recommend? I think the numbers are more than 2 million illegals have already left the United States. That's either self-deported. That's a combination of self-deported and deportation. So we're only looking at about 2 million of the 20 million illegals. And so you're thinking that these deportations are having a negative impact on the economy?
Yeah.
What is your evidence of that? Do you have any kind of concrete evidence that you've been able to compile?
Well, as a landlord, the rent's not renting like they used to. And I've got a couple vacancies, and I don't have that many. And total-wise. But in Salem, a lot of the folks that I deal with, I would say most of the people I rent to are Hispanic.
Do you require ID when somebody like rents from you? Do you require ID and proof of who they are?
Yeah, sometimes they might have a Mexican driver's license or something like that. But also, I have a gal that she seems to have a police contact that kind of checks on them too. Plus try to get credit report, so if they don't have something like that.
So what is your suggestion? What do you think the administration ought to be doing instead of deporting?
I think if somebody's been here like before the period when they opened the border wide open, and my guess is about 10 years, so if they've been here 10 years or longer, and don't have any, you know, criminal problems or so, let them stay. You know, I think you're seeing reduced employment in the restaurants and Mexican restaurants, you know, lower volumes of people being able to go in there.
Interesting. Tom, I hate to do this. We're going to have to take a break here, but I'm sure folks are going to want to weigh in on what you had to say. There are some Mexican restaurants that are suffering because, you know, a lot of their workers, and also some Thai restaurants as well, Asian American restaurants. But I got to tell you, I was down at Taco Bell and it looked like they were fully staffed. So I don't know what's going on down there. We'll be right back, everybody. Crazy story coming out of New York City, Queens, District 19, where a massive crowd of people conducted an illegal takeover of a lovely residential street. And this happened a little after midnight. And I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, bring into the conversation our good friend, New York City Councilwoman Vicky Paladino. Vicky, good to have you back on the radio. We have you on the Newsmax show all the time.
Good afternoon, Todd. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well. I was just really stunned when I saw this video. I thought it was like some sort of a third world country, like a war zone.
Yeah, it looked like Beirut. It was horrible. It happened at about 12:30 in the morning, early morning, Sunday, depending on how you'd like to look at it, or very late Saturday night. People were asleep, people were getting home, you know, from an evening out. And what transpired was just was unbelievable. People were coming from every which direction and in their cars. And they wreaked havoc on a section in my district known as Malba, which is right outside of Whitestone. It's part of Whitestone, actually. And this was a well-planned assault on a neighborhood. This was not a car meetup. It added to it because there were cars going at 100 miles an hour doing donuts, but they also beat up a resident, broke his nose, broke his ribs, broke his shoulder, punched his wife in the face. About 12 to 15 of them ganged up on that. So you had different things going on in like a two-block radius. The security guard, they have their private security. He got out of the car. One of the residents took the car, put it in the center of what we call the circle in hopes of deterring these lunatics from going 100 miles an hour, zipping through, tearing up lawns, doing what they were doing. Instead, they set the car on fire and continued to do donuts around the car while these people, for lack of a better word, let's call them criminals, were sitting on their cars videotaping everything. So what you're seeing is real time in the videos. I don't know if you got to see them or not. And it was just absolutely sickening. I woke up at 6 a.m., as I always do. I grabbed my phone, as I always do, and there was a message there from the man, because you've got to realize, I know a lot of my constituents. I was born and raised in this district. So I see a text, and he says, Vicky, I'm texting you from the ER. You're not going to believe what happened in Malba last night. And then he proceeds to finish his text. And then I called another resident that I'm good friends with, Larry. And he said, yeah, Vic, everything, all of that is true. And it was just horrendous. And they sent me videos. I said, oh, my God. And I got on the phone with the police, and I went into Vicky mode, which is, you know, boots on the ground, you know, get out and do what you got to do. So I met with the chief of the police of my borough, and he came to my house, actually, picked me up. I met with the chief at my one of the precincts that is in my district, and this district falls under the 109th jurisdiction. And we went to Malba. They had already set out detectives to do their due diligence by knocking on doors. And I'm happy to say that today, only 2 days later, by the way, I spoke to Jeff Fish, who is our city's police commissioner. And if Zohreh Mamdani has offered her to stay, and she accepted, so that will be the one steadfast piece of anything out of this administration. I contacted Jess, and she told me, Vicki, I promise you, we will get an arrest on this.
Good.
And here we are 2 days later, and it looks like they got their facial recognition, and they will be charged with felony assault once they are caught, and others will be charged with arson.
You know, Vicki, I'm glad to see this because the lawlessness just has to stop, and we have got to have a crackdown on this. I'm curious. I want to switch gears a little bit. You were on my Newsmax show the other night, and
Friday night, you
had a very interesting point about the meeting between President Trump and Zohreh Mamdani. You know, a lot of people were freaking out. They're like, "Oh, the president surrendered. He's embracing radical Islam." That's not how you see this.
No, not at all. Can you imagine President Trump embracing Islam? Give me a break. No, that's just so far from reality. Absolutely not. You know, my take on that Friday night, and I know a lot of people that are in agreement that he took a knee. No, he didn't take a knee, everybody. Calm down. What he did was, this is Donald Trump, let's make a deal, okay? This is part of the deal. This is, come in, sit down, let's talk. He's pragmatic. That's what he does. He's a pragmatist. He's all about that. Everybody seems to think he's super right-wing. And that is why the Republicans are having a problem with their party. Take, for example, with my party, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you're never far right enough. He's not like that. And he met with this young guy. Make no mistake, I am no fan of Zohreh, and I am not, as I stand talking to you right now in the staircase at City Hall in Manhattan, because we have to go in for a stated meeting. I'm not looking forward to these next 4 years unless he's willing to play nice in the sandbox. Because nobody here is going to bend or take a knee except the progressives, okay? And if there were such thing as moderate Democrats, I would hope they would give him a problem as well with his anti-cop agenda and, you know, his affordability crisis. You know, he's building everything around this narrative of affordability. Yes, it's a huge problem. But you know what? If we don't get the safety we need and we don't get the cops we need to do their job, and he goes about his really radical, progressive way of thinking, this city will sink because no one will come here without feeling safe. No one will remain living here in the middle class or upper middle class if they do not feel safe. So he's got to move towards the middle. Let's hope he does. Because I myself, as I carried on this past weekend with Malba, I'm not messing around here. We're going to get law and order, and I don't care what it takes. Jess Tisch is a good ally to have, and we got to wait to see how this young guy is going to play this out. But Trump, every time Trump patted his hand or patted his back, I felt like he was going to come back here to his socialist movement that's here, this radical socialist movement, communist movement, and they were going to give him hell for that. You know, he's making many, many mistakes. He's making some okay moves, but you can't trust him because that talks out of two sides of his mouth. Here's the one okay thing that he did was keeping Jess Tisch. But let's go to the polar opposite.
And
when he was asked about the synagogue attack, he refused to recognize, for lack of a better phrase, his own and condemning them for what they did at that synagogue here. They cannot do that. So long as he stays within those parameters of being the anti-Semitic Zohreh Mamdani, you know, you could extend an olive branch all you want. But if your actions do not meet your words, well, then they don't matter.
You know, Vicki, and here's the thing that gets me about all this is that I know a lot of folks are focused on the anti-Semitism and the Islamist part of all this. I don't think that's what we're really going to have to worry about here. I think it's the communist side of this guy that
Correct.
we're really going to have to be worried about.
Correct. You know, he talks about, you know, as soon as he starts to give, like he talks about his community safety department, Department of Community Safety. That's going to be made up of everybody like him who thinks like he does. So you see what's happening in England with your freedom of speech being taken away from you. That's very likely. What we're going to see here also is when he starts to move in the direction of government run this and that. As soon as you get government involved, you can't work. This is communism. It's a one-party rule here, too, understand. We got one-party rule upstate New York, which is Albany, which is the governor, and the Senate, and the Assembly. And then you move down here to the city, and you have one-party rule down here also. One-party rule is communism. They pat each other on the back, they destroy the middle class, and they move on. And, you know, it's about the rich, and it's about the poor. And we're about to go into chambers today and pass a resolution that will give the illegal migrants here even more with free health care. It's in the billions. And that's what we're going to do today, or hundreds of millions. That's what we're going to go inside and do. So when you start to talk about economics, you know, yeah, he's going to kill this city if he's allowed to operate the way he's going to operate. Let me also remind everybody here online, on who's within the sound of my voice, my city council makes up 51 seats. Out of 51 seats, we're dividing some of us into caucuses. Right? We have the Common Sense Caucus on my end. It's the Progressive Caucus. The Progressive Caucus is the largest caucus in the entire council. Makes up for one-third of the 51. Right now it's 18. They also, this new election that just passed in November, we're gaining 4 more progressives, which means we're going to have 22 progressives in the city council. What does that mean to everybody? That means that it's a rubber stamp for Zoran to practically do whatever he wants to do here.
Wow. Vicki, we're going to have to leave it there. I know you've got a council meeting to get off to, but again, we're going to pay very close attention because what happens in New York is going to be replicated in other major cities.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yep, cannot be taken lightly. Thank you, Todd.
Take care, Vicki. All right. Great lady. She dropped a phrase on the Newsmax the other day. She was talking about President Trump getting palsy-wowsy. I love that phrase. You know, it just seems to me, if you've got a Vicki Palladino in your Republican Party, you need to be looking at somebody like her. She is a fierce warrior, and she's got a great point about Donald Trump. And this is something that Republicans as a whole do not understand about their party. There are all stripes of Republicans, and this idea that you have to have a purity test is ludicrous because ultimately you're never going to be able to mobilize around a single candidate, right? So Donald Trump would not be considered a far right person in the Republican Party. He's more of a moderate, especially when you look at many of his views on the social and culture issues of the day. He's a centrist. So again, that's the point that Palladino was trying to make. A New York City Republican is going to look a lot different than, say, an Alabama Republican or even a Texas Republican. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Millions, by the way, are now turning to Newsmax, watching us on cable, going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're also downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation, and you're going to be able to watch great shows. Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. You get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Takes literally seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people. Dylan, there's another AI music controversy, and I am really intrigued by this one. So there is a Christian singer, a Christian artist by the name of Solomon Ray, and he's now topping the charts, but he's not real. It's not a real thing. So it's an AI artist.
Oh, boy.
And so a lot of people are really fired up about that. We talked about this, what, a couple of weeks ago in the country music industry.
Yeah, there was a song that hit number one on Billboard.
Wow.
And it was a country song. And it sounded really good, unfortunately.
So this guy, his name is Solomon Ray. He became the top artist on iTunes, top 100 Christian and gospel albums. But he's not human. According to Christianity Today, he was entirely created by artificial intelligence, his voice, performance style, lyrics, and persona. And his most recent album is called A Soulful Christmas. It features tracks like Jingle Bell Soul and Soul to the World. That's weird.
That's definitely AI.
So a lot of people are now suggesting, though, that it's different if you're talking about Christian music, because Christian music is supposed to be about you're talking about your experience with God and your relationship with Christ and your Christian walk, and all of that is supposed to sort of, right? It seems like Christian music is really more of a heart issue than it is anything else. So therefore, can an AI Christian artist actually be authentic?
I mean, it's definitely unethical. I mean, if this person is putting in a prompt for this AI artist and he's putting in his own personal story, and then the AI bot is just kind of writing a song based off of that, I can kind of see where you can get away with that. But if it's just making up stuff, or it's just, you know, being creative, if you will, that's a problem.
I typed in my story and into AI, mm-hmm, to see if it would generate a country music song. You know, what kind of a song, yeah, would it? And I got the theme song to Hee Haw. I don't know what that was all about.
Could be the next number one.
It could be. Forrest Frank is a Christian singer. Is that the guy that does the dance stuff that broke his back and then got healed and is doing backflips again?
I think so.
Okay.
Or maybe that's someone different. I don't know.
They
look the same.
They all look they sound the same. So anyway.
He's big, though. He's a big Christian artist.
He's huge, yeah. Huge. So he's all upset about this. I guess so. It's competition now. He's no longer number one.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems that go. I can see this not being ending well for this industry. They got to put some borders on this, or guidelines with AI and music, because they already have the copyright rules and all the stuff going on, and this just makes it more complicated. And the more they get away with it, the more it's going to be trouble for that industry.
He says, Frank, what's his face, says, what's his name, Frank?
Forrest Frank.
Sorry,
FF. There it is.
FF says, at minimum, AI does not have the Holy Spirit inside of it.
That's true.
So it's a good point. So I think it's really weird to be opening up your spirit to something that has no spirit. Fair enough.
Fair. Okay. I have seen someone try to evangelize to AI and try to get it to convert to Christianity.
Really?
Yeah. And it said it worked, but I mean, AI is like your friend on some of these chat boxes. So I think it's going to agree either way.
Wow, I don't know about this. Here's the problem. It's where do you draw the line? I mean, at what point? Where do you draw that line? So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen. AI, what about an AI pastor? Interesting. AI politicians, can't get any worse. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for watching us on our social media feeds, Rumble and YouTube. And thank you for listening to us on the radio. You know, I'm a radio nerd, so I love the radio and I love listening to radio. One of the reasons I love taking the long road trips is to hang out and listen to all these radio stations as I travel across the country. Hey, real quick, want to go to the phone lines, and we're going to start this hour in Alaska. James is on the line and wants to weigh in on this crazy AI story. The Christian music world in turmoil right now. The number one singer is not human. Let's go to James. Hi, James. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Well, here's the thing. I don't feel sorry for people that are making millions and millions of dollars for singing. I'm sorry. When I was in the military, you know, as a three striper, I wasn't making millions of dollars, but here I was in the middle of Kuwait. So how come they get to make millions and millions of dollars and somebody that might get shot at, he just makes me, you know, a few hundred dollars a month, a couple thousand maybe.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that, James. I think the market is what it is in the entertainment world. I think that's the way that's always been.
Well, it may very well may be, and it's the same way in the NFL and the NBA. But again, I don't feel like you deserve millions of dollars just because you're good at playing basketball.
Well, again, yeah, no, I hear you. I would suggest that, for example, let's just take the NBA. You mentioned basketball. Look, if back in the day, I think back in the 1960s, 50s, and 60s, those basketball players were not making a lot of money. But then, you know, they started generating fans, and fans resulted in more ticket sales. More ticket sales generated other revenue, and so now here we are. You look at the WNBA, for example, and hardly anybody goes to those games. So I think a lot of that determines on, you know, what the average, you know, what the average American is willing to pay to go to a basketball game. To your point, I think teachers are trying to make that argument as well, that teaching, you know, is an important profession, and therefore they just, you know, they say they deserve more money. I would suggest that some of our biggest, you know, if you're looking at expenses from a government paycheck position, I would say we ought to be paying our military more money.
Well, I agree with that, and I understand the market is what it is, and people will pay whatever they'll pay, you know, for a ticket or whatever else. But, you know, here's the other end of that. You know, if you're going to pay $1,500 to go see the Super Bowl or whatever it costs, then don't squawk about the economy and don't squawk about your paycheck, because you got money for that. I don't want to hear about you squawking about saying, well, so-and-so's making $50 million or so-and-so's making, you know, $60 million playing basketball or whatever. If you're paying for those tickets, then don't squawk about how much they cost, and don't squawk about you being poor or whatever else.
All right. James, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Steve in Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve, what's going on? Hello, Steve.
Oh, hey, Todd. I'm not a fan of AI taking jobs away from people, but I finally figured out a job that AI could do a better job at, I think, and would solve a lot of problems. Let's let AI do the judging in the courts. Let's build an AI program that you just feed the laws into as they're written, and let AI, if you can keep it from getting hacked and keep it from getting politically influenced and worldview influenced, just let it make the decisions in the courts based off our laws as they're written.
Well, I kind of like that idea, as long as the AI judge is like, I don't know, John Wayne, kind of a fusion of John Wayne and Judge Judy.
Well, I mean, it's AI, from what I understand about AI, you can do about any of that stuff you want to.
I like that. I like that idea. We're not gonna have any touchy feely judges. We need a hardcore judge, Steve.
It would solve the problems of appointing judges and all the crooked under the table stuff that goes on there.
I love it. Love it. All right, Steve, it's a great point. Thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Got to take a quick break here. We'll be right back. All right, I do want to say thank you again to Dale's, which is a great southern restaurant in South Haven, Mississippi. A lot of our listeners on KWAM have Sunday after church supper there. One of the finest restaurants around, such great patriots, and they provided the meal last night for the 1,000 federal agents that are in Memphis as part of the President Trump's Memphis Safe Task Force. So thank you to the good people at Dale's, and also thank you to Pepsi. They provided all the beverages last night free of charge, and we're very grateful for that. So head on down to Dale's and be sure if you're, I don't know, at a vending machine, get a Pepsi. Let's go to the phone line real quick here. Amy in Lakeland, Tennessee has a question. Hi, Amy, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. So I am wondering, as a citizen of the United States, if there is anything that I could do to help someone that I feel is of good moral character and would be a wonderful asset to our community to become a citizen. Like, I'm seeing all of the media where they're, you know, showing the protesters and all that kind of stuff. And obviously that is not the way to help people, you know, that feel like they need to be able to be a citizen, get that. So I've looked online and it's very difficult for people to become citizens. And I was just wondering if there was a way to do that.
Well, Amy, I'm a hardliner when it comes to immigration. I believe that if you're here illegally, you have to go back to your country of origin, and then you have to apply to come to this country the legal way. I think that's the only fair way about it. Now, there are immigration attorneys that, you know, and at that stage, if somebody is here illegally, they would have to have an attorney. I mean, that's the only way. That, you know, there might be some sort of saving grace if there are maybe extenuating circumstances. Me personally, everybody has to go and then come back the right way. And the reason I say that, Amy, is there are so many people that are trying to do that. They're trying to come to America legally, and those people always get the short end of the stick.
Right. Well, you know, my friend has been here for a very long time. He has an attorney, and you know, they gave him a federal tax ID number so he pays his taxes on his business. But, you know, it just seems very unfair because he is a lawful, good person, teaches Sunday school and just a real asset. And, you know, they won't give him citizenship. And I just feel very helpless as a citizen of the United States where, you know, surely there's something I could do to help him get that.
Yeah, at that stage, Amy, it's really up to the courts and it's up to, you know, the judges. So, you know, if he's got an attorney, I'm sure the attorney is probably doing whatever they can to help. But again, it's hard. And I don't know anybody that's here illegally, but I would feel the same way. That for me, that is probably the most dangerous thing that's happening in our country is just the massive numbers of illegals that have come into the country. And I get it. There are some who, you know, want to just raise their families and, you know, live the American dream. But again, they've got to come here the right way, in my estimation.
Oh, and I mean, I agree with that. But, you know, if you take Mexico, they're not allowing any immigrants from Mexico to come over. It's just a blanket across the board no.
All right.
So anyway, but I feel like that's a big factor that is dividing the Republican Party or the Republican people, you know, because they're just not happy with how ICE not only is taking away the bad immigrants, which we want them to do, but they're also taking away immigrants who have been here a long time. And they've been trying to get citizenship the way that they're told through the government system They just cannot get it, and they're being taken away.
Amy,
well.
Are we talking about immigrants or illegal immigrants?
Illegal.
Okay.
Illegal immigrants.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the key word there. It's the key word. So once you come here illegally, you've already committed a crime. And that's the issue, is that the crime was committed when you crossed the border without the country's permission. So it doesn't matter if it was 5 minutes ago or 5 years ago, you know, that has to be addressed. And look, I'm sure if your a friend has an attorney, I'm sure they're going to be able to get all that worked out. All right, Amy, good luck to you, and thank you for calling in. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, our official. Josh, have we given you a title yet? Josh Jones, everybody.
I think so, or at least it's been loosely thrown around. But, you know,
Chief Republican strategist and dishwasher.
Yeah,
it's been a while. You were in Texas. Did you ride anything, like a horse or get a cowboy hat or?
Not this go around, unfortunately. It was a pretty short trip, day in, day out. But luckily, the government was reopened by the time we did the trip, so we didn't have any like flight delays or anything like that, because we were heading down to McAllen, Texas, which is down on the border. So it's a small regional airport. So I was like, if the government's not reopened, we're definitely going to get stuck. So thankfully, that wasn't a problem.
Yeah, you don't want to get stuck in McAllen, Texas.
Yeah, no.
Not much to know. I mean, it's, you know, there's just not a lot to do there. I mean, you'd rather get stuck in, like, Honolulu, or, you know.
Right, exactly.
Miami Beach or something, you know, I don't know.
Exactly.
Hey, Josh, I wanted to bend your ear about something. Sure. We've got a big congressional race in Tennessee coming up, and December 2nd, and it was a 20-point, the district went 20 points for Trump. Now we're hearing rumblings that the internal polling is going to make this a very close race, and I'm wondering what's going on here. Is there a mood in the country, or are these just anomalies?
I think, look, it's not necessarily a one-size-fits-all answer, but, I mean, when you look at what just happened earlier this month in Virginia, New Jersey, and then also New York, but we can kind of, you know, cast that one to the side because we all want to kind of speculate what's going to happen there. But in Virginia and New Jersey in particular, you had just very high Democrat enthusiasm and turnout. And mostly because of President Trump, and that's not an indictment or, you know, a condemnation of President Trump, but that's just, you know, the nature of politics, is that the Democrats have a motivating factor to get to the polls right now, is what we're seeing, and that is to rebuke Trump, whereas Republicans don't really have that motivating factor to get out and vote and go to the polls. Because back in 2021 and 2020 as well, Republicans went out to vote against the Biden administration, and that's why Governor Youngkin won in Virginia, and New Jersey was a lot closer. So I think what you're seeing right now is there's not a lot of enthusiasm on the Republican side of the aisle. And I think you can cast blame a lot of different places, but one of those places, and particularly as it relates to the midterms, Congress isn't doing anything. I mean, they've passed some bills, they've gotten some things across the finish line. Don't get me wrong, there's definitely been some wins. But in terms of kicking it into high gear while we have a majority in both chambers, they just aren't doing that.
Yeah.
And I think Republican voters just aren't enthused.
What's going on there? You're right. I mean, they're not. Is that a leadership issue?
I mean, look, I don't work in Congress directly. I help get people there, you know, good people in the Congress. So I'm not necessarily working in the halls of Congress every day. But I think it's a multitude of factors, and it's all different rumblings on the Hill, whether that's leadership or people in the administration delaying things, what have you. But, I mean, there's definitely an issue. I can't necessarily point one finger at one, you know, specific person or place. But, I mean, there's definitely a problem on the Hill right now.
When there was a story in Jake Sherman, Punchbowl News, talking about MTG may not be the only Republican that calls it quits. And we could have a number of others are saying, I think they use the word earthquake. I mean, there is a possibility. I know it seems far-fetched, but they're suggesting that Republicans could actually lose the majority before the midterms. Are you hearing any rumblings about that?
No, I mean, to your point, specifically from Punchbowl, I've heard the same things, or at least seen the same things on Twitter and the rumblings, et cetera. So, I mean, I don't have any, you know, insider knowledge, so to speak, but, I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, we have a razor slim majority, and after January 5th, once Marjorie Taylor Greene resigns, I mean, that margin's going to get even smaller. So I don't know if that's necessarily true, but if it is, Republicans have a big problem on their hand, because if you lose the majority before you even make it to an election, that's an absolute failure of the leadership and of the party.
It's just, it's mind-numbing. And again, I think the president's agenda has been pretty remarkable, but getting it through Congress, you know, we can't just executive order everything. You know, Congress has to step in, and being off literally for 2 months during the shutdown, yep. Congress did absolutely nothing. And again, Josh, there will be a cutoff time, and you know this. I mean, you run a lot of campaigns. At what point do the elected leaders really stop doing anything controversial because they want to get reelected?
Right. I mean, it kind of depends on, you know, your member, right, if they're in a swing district or if they're in a safe district, et cetera. But really, I mean, come to end of spring, beginning of the beginning of next summer, it's when a lot of these members are going to be full focus on their reelections. And I mean, rightfully so, I get it. They're very time consuming. But I mean, that leaves you basically 6 months, give or take, between now and then to get things done and get things pushed through Congress and codified into law. Because to your point, President Trump and the administration can do all these executive orders and executive actions to get the agenda implemented. But if Democrats win the White House in 2028, that all goes away with the signing of a pen of whoever that president is. So, I mean, Congress has to get on the ball here, because also we have no guarantee of retaining the majorities if we win them again. So you got 6 months to really get a couple of the flagship pieces of legislation through Congress and over to the president's desk. And as of right now, I just don't think they're going to do it.
Wow. Are you surprised by that? I'm genuinely shocked, because, again, I thought they would have learned their lesson. But are you surprised?
I mean, it definitely is a little surprising and frankly disappointing, because, you know, coming out of 2024, we won the White House. President Trump won every single swing state. A pretty resounding statement from the country in terms of wanting to go down the America First agenda laid out by President Trump, and Congress, you know, the Republicans in Congress got majorities based on that. So the fact that they're just dragging their feet, and look, I get it's very, you know, easy from the outside to say, why aren't you getting more done? Because Congress does move slow, and that's the nature of the beast. That's how it was designed. But this is too slow.
I have 10 seconds. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Pretty traditional Thanksgiving, heading back home to the family. So going to head down there, see the family for a couple of days, and then I'll be back in the swamp after that.
That's a good answer. Your mom is listening to the show right now. So that was a good answer, Josh. All right.
Hey,
happy Thanksgiving, Josh. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Good man right there. They Republicans better pay attention to this guy. He knows how to win elections. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Don't forget, you can watch the show tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. We are going to be jam-packed today, folks. Well, I mentioned earlier in the program that we were just so honored to be able to host, more than 1,000 federal agents, members of the Memphis Safe Task Force. That was last night here in Memphis. Attorney General Pam Bondi was with us, as well as the HUD Secretary Scott Turner, who delivered one heck of a great prayer. He blessed the meal. And based on the response from the crowd, that meal was certainly blessed. Let's go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Secretary Turner. What an honor to have you with us on the radio today.
Well, good afternoon, Brother Todd. It's great to be with you, sir.
Well, by the way, it was a lot of fun last night, and I have to commend you. You were working the serving line. You and Attorney General Bondi, you guys were loading up the plates.
Yes, sir. That was a highlight to be able to serve our men and women in law enforcement and military. You know, a lot of times the little things go a long way, but to be able to serve them and say hello and give our appreciation and gratitude to them was a tremendous blessing. I know to Attorney General Bondi and myself, we talked about it on our way home last night and again this morning. So thank you for being a part of that with us, sir.
Well, we were honored, and we just so appreciate the efforts of the administration to shine a spotlight on what's happening in Memphis. And during your time here, you made a little bit of breaking news announcing a special hotline to protect Americans in public housing. What's going on there?
Yes, sir. So, you know, our heart here at HUD is we care about the American people that live in HUD-funded housing. And so, and a lot of times, Todd, these are some of our most vulnerable people in our country. And so they should be able to trust that their families and their properties are safe as they live in HUD-funded housing. And so this hotline, the goal here is to disrupt criminal activity and also to protect families and housing and property of tenants that live in HUD assistant housing, and also to ensure that taxpayer dollars are being used for American citizens as it pertains to HUD-funded housing. And so any criminal activity, drug activity, illegal aliens, sex offenders, human trafficking, fraudulent activity, we want people to have a place to where they can report this. If they see it, if they hear about it, report it and understand that they're doing a good thing for people there in HUD-funded housing.
I thought it was shocking, some of the numbers that you guys have been releasing. We understand from the Center for Immigration Studies, 59% of illegal alien households use one or more welfare programs, and that is a huge, huge burden on the American taxpayers.
Absolutely. And, you know, so you think about over 12 million illegals came across our border during the Biden administration, and the Biden administration policies, when it came to housing, when it came to immigration, when it came to the economy, were weak policies. And when you have this amount, millions of people coming across our border illegally, it literally stifles housing supply. It stifles housing affordability. And as you alluded to, over almost 60% of illegal alien families use one or more welfare programs, costing us about $42 billion a year. And so you talk about affordability, we're paying billions upon billions of dollars for people who shouldn't even be here anyway, and they are usurping housing units that should be used for the American people. And so we prioritize American citizens and American citizens only with the crime hotline, with HUD-funded housing, and when you talk about programs that come from HUD.
I'm shocked again to discover that apparently – the FHA was, we were insuring mortgages for illegals? That was going on?
Yes, sir. So during the Biden administration, they really turned a blind eye when it came to these policies. But when we came into the administration with President Trump, you know, we returned to the mission-minded focus of serving the American people and truly vulnerable families and individuals that need assistance from HUD in this season of life. And so we've taken a few actions here at HUD to ensure that American people, American citizens, receive HUD-funded housing. And so we signed a data sharing agreement with Secretary Noem and DHS to make sure that everyone living inside of HUD-funded housing is an American citizen. We also took away the possibility or the ability for illegals to receive FHA-backed mortgages. Again, we're not turning a blind eye to that. We're upholding the law. And lastly, we have mandated that every public housing authority send us a comprehensive account of everyone living in a HUD-funded housing receiving Section 8 or rental assistance. Are you an American citizen? What's the size of the unit? How many people in the unit? So no longer will transparency be thrown by the wayside, but we want every PHA to understand that we want to know everybody that's living in there because, again, were stewards and fiduciaries of the American taxpayer dollar.
And Mr. Secretary, you know, again, the key part of this, I have to imagine, is helping people move from being renters to where they can actually become homeowners. How important is that to what you guys are doing?
So, I mean, you think about it, Todd, and even in our generation and now, you know, one of the first steps to becoming a homeowner is to be able to rent, you know, a quality, safe place, be it a multifamily or a single family. And so with our Section 221 and 223 loans here at HUD, we help to build, to renovate, to refurbish affordable multifamily housing units so that people can afford a safe, quality place to save up so that they can become a homeowner at some point in their life.
You know, another thing that I've been really impressed with is that there was so much money being thrown at the homeless crisis in the country. problem is a lot of that money wasn't actually going to help homeless people. What did you guys discover when you stepped into your role?
Yes, sir. So we, you're talking about our continuum of care program here at HUD. And so we discovered that, you know, during the Biden administration, it really was a slush fund to fund the homeless industrial complex, really warehousing, if you will, our homeless neighbors. And, you know, yes, taking people off the streets, but that was it. And so that was called like the housing first model. Well, the housing first model has not been successful. Matter of fact, it's been a colossal failure. And so instead of us having a slush fund, what we've done under the president's leadership is say we're not only going to concentrate on getting people off the streets, but we're going to take it a step further, the continuum of care, and get people treated and put the axe head to the root. What's the root of homelessness? Mental sickness, mental health, drug abuse, drug overuse. And so not only do we house them, but now we send wraparound services to treat them so that they can be transformed to live a life of self-sustainability. And then you make room for those who actually need the help instead of just throwing billions of dollars to build nonprofits, but yet never seeing results and getting people off the streets and transformed.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today is our HUD secretary, Secretary Scott Turner, joining us today. You know, Mr. Secretary, I want to circle back to that home ownership. You know, that has been a big conversation, especially among younger Americans, you know, trying to get out there and buy that first starter home and start living the American dream. What encouragement do you have for those young people? Many of them are our fellow conservatives.
Yes, sir. Well, first thing I would say is, you know, stay faithful. Don't be dismayed. Under President Trump's leadership, through HUD, our cabinet, and other administrative leaders, we are meeting and we are working tirelessly to attack the housing affordability, really the affordability issue in our country every single day. This is not lost on us. It is a top priority for the president and others in our administration. And so what I would say is to continue to work hard, continue to save as much as you can, and understand that we're attacking the regulatory environment here. We're putting the axe head again to the root in our localities and our local mayors, economic development, planning, and zoning to make sure that they're taking inventory of the regulatory environment, because it has literally stifled and crippled building and development in our country. And so we hope to unleash building and development in the days ahead as we take down the regulatory environment, as we form public-private partnerships, as we look at using underutilized federal lands. And I'm saying all these things as an encouragement to your listeners and the young generation, and that steps are being made, action is being taken to make sure that we bring down the cost, that we raise the supply and open up the market for not only the younger generation, but also for those, their parents and their grandparents, to buy a home. And I'll finish with this. At HUD, Todd, we have since January helped support over 1 million Americans as it pertains to owning a home and affordability. And
wow,
over 500,000 of those are first-time home buyers. So there has been good news in our FHA and Ginnie Mae programs, especially for first-time home buyers. And so I would encourage people to look at FHA because that is the program for our first-time home buyers.
All right. Well said. Secretary Turner, we really appreciate you taking time to come on the show today. I know a lot of people are going to be relieved to hear what you just said, and certainly hope you and your family have a really happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Todd. Thank you, sir.
All right, there you have it. Housing Urban Development Secretary Scott Turner on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. What a great guy. He and the Attorney General, they stayed and they posed for I don't know how many photographs, all of the federal agents coming up and wanting to talk to them, shake their hand, and they were so incredibly gracious last night. It really was a special moment. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Good to have you back with us, everybody. This is the Todd Stern's radio show. Wow, it's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is just right around the corner, and then a mad dash to Christmas. and we're going to try to savor every single moment. We finally did get the news bunker decorated in Christmas regalia, and I'm curious, at what point do you guys actually set everything up for Christmas? I mean, some of you never took it down. But there are others who are just like really serious about it. It has to be after Thanksgiving. You can't set up the decorations before Thanksgiving. So anyway, I'm just kind of curious if you have a method to your madness. You know, it's interesting. Kevin McCarthy, the former House Speaker who was ousted, no doubt by MTG, is now talking about MTG in a very interesting way. McCarthy weighing in on these reports that more Republicans are getting set to leave Congress before the midterms. Cut number six.
Okay. Whatever. What happened, by the way, with MTG? She's leaving Congress? She's leaving Congress, but I don't think that's the end that you'll see about her. And I think, look, I've always believed that any time you have an elected official that's known by three initials, they're effective on what they do. And I found Marjorie to be very effective, but she's almost like a canary in a coal mine. And this is something inside Congress they better wake up, because they're going to get a lot of people retiring, and they got to focus. I think keeping members out of Congress, you only get 2 years to be in the majority, and if the Democrats get you not to work every day for 2 months, that's losing 2 months of the majority.
Yeah, he's not wrong there. I don't know what's going on with him. We'll check in with McCarthy and see what he's up to. But again, McCarthy is trying to point out here that things could get really squirrely for the GOP. We will we'll keep you updated. By the way, I want to play this from Scott Jennings over at CNN. I love Scott Jennings. He takes it to the Democrats and does a remarkable job of it. Cut number eight.
I think the highlight reel that you just played, spliced with the highlight reel of all the people trying to run the Democratic National Committee at their organizational meeting, ought to be put together, and we ought to take money from the Republican National Committee and play it on a loop. Ladies and gentlemen, the American left is so far off the rails, they're going to have to get Google Maps to find their way back. They are way gone right now, and it's glorious.
We are going to be in your face. We are going to be on your asses, and we are going to make sure... We're going to make sure you understand what democracy looks like. This ain't it.
Una mexicana, sí se puede.
Se puede. Se puede.
And we will win.
We will win.
We will win. We will win. We will win. We will win.
We will win.
We're going to we're finding out ways to expedite this. Because of our gender balance provisions on this next ballot, you will be able to vote for two candidates of any gender on the next ballot. Okay? So on this next ballot, you will be able to vote for two candidates of any gender on the next ballot. If two candidates receive...
Elon Musk is a Nazi nutball, baby!
You are in this... next ballot, where you have two votes, as the chair has said, you may vote for two males, two females, two of any gender. Okay? Nope, you can't do that.
Wait, what?
And what we're not gonna do is stand around while they pull this that they trying to pull right now.
Go ahead.
This is why I'm not gonna be able to preach, because I probably won't be able to stop cussing.
You can vote for one of any gender, okay? Or no, non-binary gender, excuse me. It is late, okay?
Not one libertarian in America voted for Elon Musk. Damn, not one vegetarian in America voted for Elon Musk.
I have a show of hands. How many of you believe that racism and misogyny played a role in Vice President Harris's defeat?
Okay. Did they? I got lost in the gender thing. That confused me. Did they? So it's like males, females, and then one non-binary, but you got to throw the transgender people in there. And what about the Q people? I mean, it seems to me that you've got to, I mean, in the LGBT world, you've got the L's, the G's, the B's, and the T's, and then you got the plus that kind of like is all encompassing, right? So somebody's going to get the short end of the stick here, but again, if you are a part of that, if you're a part of that alphabet mob there, then certainly you're going to have to be as inclusive as humanly possible. So,
excuse me, what about the pansexuals? What about us? What about the pansexuals?
You know, I feel bad for the pansexuals, you know, because they're always the ones that are left out.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you. I identify as a casserole dish.
Yeah, okay. I don't think that... So if you're pansexual, that covers, like, pots, cast iron skillets, saute pans, I guess. But I don't think that includes casserole dishes or Pyrex. We'll have to... We'll get back to you on that. We'll do a deep dive. No, yeah, but definitely, no, no pans. No, that does not include, like... That does not include, like, what you would put cookies on in your oven. No, these are actual, I think these are stovetop, Dylan, stovetop
only. They
have
to have the handle. That's what it is. That's what makes you pansexual, I think, is the handle.
We just got a text. What about pots? Okay, come on now.
Well, pots,
you're just stirring in the pot.
Pot sexual.
That's what you smoke if you're pansexual. I guess. I don't know. We'll figure it out. We want to be... We want to be relevant and tolerant here on the Todd Starrs Radio Show. But we'll try to get you casserole. You know what? We'll try to get casserole dishes included in the gender binary. How's that? All right, we got to get out of here. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, everybody. Get out there. Be good.